This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host for this first hour. I want to wish everybody a happy Labor Day, long weekend, and well, I'll wish everybody the best as kids start to go back to school next week, at least here in Canada, and who knows, maybe the world starts to get back to a little bit more of a sense of normal, but that's a pretty big maybe as we continue to see a slew of mixed data around the world, especially when it comes to COVID-19. We're going to focus a lot on the markets and metals with a couple company updates at the tail end of this first hour. But first and foremost, I am chatting with Mike Larson. He is the editor of the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. Now, Mike, let's start off with the U.S. equity markets and what I think we can maybe call the dot-com bubble 2.0, where we have seen high-flying tech names continue to lead the markets higher. However, on Thursday, and we're recording it later in the day on Thursday, we're seeing a pretty big correction in the tech names, drawing down the broad averages. It's looking like it's going to be the worst day since June for the U.S. equity markets, but hey, we haven't hit a circuit breaker, and remember those days when we hit circuit breakers almost day after day. Mike, your thoughts on the volatility this week as markets were grinding higher and now on Thursday, pretty aggressively reversed.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a run for the ages in the last few months in tech specifically, or tech, the sector overall, and then some of these specific names like Tesla and so on. I mean, you know, the overall sector, you're up 70-80% in the span of a handful of months. You're talking about some of these companies that have put on 200-400% or more in terms of gains year to date, and in the last 6 months, really since that March bottoming in the market. That, you know, you probably don't need me to tell you that's not normal. I mean, these are the kinds of outsized gains, especially when they're extremely concentrated in one sector, that we truly haven't seen since, the late 1999, early 2000 timeframe. I mean, obviously, I was active in the markets back then. I remember what it was like. I worked at a dot-com firm, in fact. And so I saw a lot of that stuff, going on firsthand. And I really honestly think that the comparisons are incredibly apt. With that said, you know, once you get into that rarefied air, it's kind of like on Mount Everest, where you get over a certain, you know, height in terms of climbing from Camp 1 to Camp 2 to Camp 3 and so on. And you end up in the death zone where, you know, you screw something up at 10,000 feet over sea level, it's not a problem. You screw something up at 26, 27,000 feet above sea level, you're in a world of hurt and you can end up dying. That's kind of similar to what's been going on in the market here. I mean, you're in rarefied air where there's so many people piling so aggressively into such a small group of stocks, and the gains are so enormous, the momentum is so powerful, that if you hit that trap door, you hit anything that kind of pulls the rug out from under it, pick your metaphor, you can see big drops in a short period of time. I mean, some of these tech names were getting nuked for 10-20% in a day on Thursday, and again, that's not a typically normal market type move, especially absent a real catalyst. I mean, if you look at the overall market and the news flow this week, there really wasn't anything specific. It's not like some mega cap tech company like Apple came out and gave an earnings warning, or something fundamental happened with one of these big names, Facebook or Tesla, whatever. It's really just that I think we hit sort of an air pocket in an extremely overbought, extremely overfollowed sector of the market, and that's when you get these big, sharp declines. Now, the real question is, what does it mean going forward? I don't have a better answer than we'll see. Clearly, at past major turning points, we've seen similar extreme volatility, you know, back in the 1999-2000 timeframe when things started to fall. You had days where the NASDAQ was down 5, 6, 7% in a day. Then you'd have rallies where it'd be up 3, 4, 5%. You start to see a real increase in chop, a real increase in volatility, and that signaled that the bigger picture turn was at hand. Now, that may be what's happening here, or it may just be a violent correction in the midst of an extremely powerful rally. I wouldn't get overly aggressive either way as an investor. You don't want to go hog wild trying to short this part of the market, and you don't want to really say, oh, gee, we had one or two down days, we're down 10% total, let's load up the bill and buy a bunch of these stocks, because they're already, even with the decline, up 70, 80% in a few months. So really, I think it's a good time to step back to the sidelines, start looking at your portfolio, and frankly, if you're way overloaded or way overexposed to these sectors, this is a great time to lighten up. You know, you might have lost 10% from your peak account value, but if you're up 60, 70, 80%, still, I mean, what's wrong with taking some chips off the table, so to speak, and start getting into some of the sectors that actually held up. If you look back at a day like Wednesday, tech started to lag, but a lot of money wasn't pulling out of the market entirely until Thursday. It was starting to go into sectors that were more defensive, utilities, consumer staples, pharmaceuticals. Some of those names had actually a pretty good day on Wednesday. They did okay in a down market on Thursday. So, again, those are some of the things you can look at. You can diversify your portfolio a little bit. Look into some of these things with yield, with dividend income that tend to hold up better in downturns. And then wait and see how things go. The market's come a long way in a relatively short period of time. It's a good time to pause that refreshes. And then we'll see if it actually is a pause that refreshes or a pause that turns into something worse.
Yeah, Mike, I think this whole concept of the markets at a certain altitude or a trap door opening up and a free fall happening, people are worried about that. I understand why, because that brings down almost every sector if we have something similar to what happened in March. However, with central banks as easy as they are, and quite frankly, data around the world already weak, do you think that central banks will have the ability to lessen some of the drastic moves down similar to March?
Well, that's the reason why I don't want to get too aggressive, you know, and say, okay, this is it. Like a shorting opportunity of a lifetime. Let's short stocks. Let's buy put options. Let's become millionaires when the market goes to the downside. I think it's way too early for that. Central banks obviously have been a key driver of what's been happening in terms of removing risk from asset values. Their actions have generally failed miserably, not just in the short term, but in the long term, in terms of impacting the real economy, getting growth notably higher, getting inflation notably higher. I mean, the Fed and other foreign central banks have missed their previous 2% target for more than a decade, and now they're trying to throw more of the same monetary spaghetti at the wall to hit a higher than 2% target effectively. And, you know, we know that doesn't work for the real economy. That doesn't mean they don't keep doing it anyway because they've got nothing else to do. But we do know that that tends to inflate assets. That does also give or makes investors emboldened to feel that the Fed has their back. So why not just speculate on every reckless piece of garbage paper that comes along their desk because it's going to go up in value? I think you've seen all of this excessive asset inflation in large part because of that sort of don't fight the Fed spirit. Unfortunately, eventually, at some point, you need the underlying fundamentals to play catch up. You need there to be some recoupling from assets after an extensive decoupling with the real economy. And that may be where people are waiting to see now. The data has certainly improved. We look at some of the jobless claims and retail spending data. It's improved from, you know, where we were at the depths of the downturn in March to now. But we're still elevated relative to where we were before COVID ever struck, before anybody heard of it. We still have a high relative to history level of jobless claims, additional jobless claims in this country. We still have not gotten, you know, people back to work as if nothing happened in many sectors in the real economy. We still have, you know, things like travel, leisure, hotels, cruise lines, airlines, restaurants, all that stuff that are still struggling badly, even though the tech sector and the remote working trend has helped benefit some of the tech companies. So broadly speaking, the economy is still not in a great place. But asset markets have been trading like it's the best economy since the 1990s.
All right, Mike, we're out of time for it this first segment, but I'm having you back on next segment. We're going to balance out the recent moves in the U.S. dollar and commodities. So everyone stick around. Mike and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos. Beat rising food prices. But above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
You're
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to chat with Mike Larson. Now, Mike, as promised at the tail end of the first segment, I want to switch focus to two other sectors or markets, one being the U.S. dollar, which has been and still is in a pretty pronounced downtrend. As we're recording this, the dollar is under 93 on the dollar index, but earlier this week it dipped below 92. I also want you to compare that weakness in the U.S. dollar to commodities broadly, because it's one aspect that I've touched on here is crude oil holding still above $40 a barrel. That seems kind of crazy to me, but also copper holding above $3. This is higher than copper was trading even before the pandemic. And yes, I get there has been some supply destruction out there, but in no way is the demand picture or equation even close to where it was at the beginning of this year. How are the dollar and commodities, the ability of commodities to hang up fairly strongly, how are you viewing this?
Sure. I think, you know, there are real world things going on and there are also financial market things going on. The Fed is clearly trying to devalue the dollar with, by doing these swap lines with foreign central banks at the height of the crisis, by doing things like printing money and by talking, you know, up long term, trying to talk up long term inflation and, you know, trying to talk down a bid for safety in the short term. All that is part of the Fed's plan to try and, you know, pump up inflation a little bit and pump up assets. And some of that spills over into the market for paper commodities, futures markets and things like that. You know, it's no real secret or no surprise that you see some markets like crude or copper or stocks or lumber or gold or, you know, fill in the blank, basically all be kind of trading in the same general pattern, even as the U.S. dollar has been falling. That being said, there are real physical demand and supply issues that affect certain parts of the commodities market. Certainly, if you look at what's happened in the lumber industry and the lumber pricing in the last several weeks or several months, that's also because demand in housing and home purchases has been so strong. So that's, you know, a combination of the financial impact plus also the real economy impact. And then you have assets like gold and silver to a lesser degree that, you know, are more of a sort of a monetary impact. People want protection from monetary devaluation and, you know, the Fed's efforts to print money. So you've got that part of the commodity market, the precious metals market, do well. So, again, broadly speaking, there's different individual things that drive each subsector in commodities, but there's also that broader trend of asset inflation, dollar devaluation, and so on. I think that, you know, if I had to say what I like the most, it's still precious metals in that sector. I still think the real economy demand for things like gasoline, jet fuel, and so on remains weak. That's not going to change. Some of the, you know, even though there's been a slight rebound off the low, you look at what some of these airlines are saying, their year-over-year demand is still down 80, 85%. Now, that's not 99% like it was back in March, but it's still a pretty ugly number, and you can see that in similar things like cruise ships and so on. And let's be honest, if more people are working from home, I know I've certainly put a lot fewer miles on my car in the last 6 months than I did in the 6 months prior to that. And, you know, to spread that impact around not just the U.S. or not just my backyard, but Canada and the rest of the world being impacted by COVID, and that's going to have an impact on things like energy demand. So those are the forces that are working there, and I still think, you know, if you try and look for the best opportunity, the types of subsectors that are going to hold up the best, I still think it's the precious metals because they have that monetary benefit. They benefit from falling dollar. They benefit from a need for what I call chaos insurance in times of higher market volatility. Central banks are allocating more money to the sector, and individual and institutional investors are doing the same. So that subsector probably has the best combination of underlying fundamentals, rather than just sort of this funny money effect that tends to inflate all assets at the same time.
Yeah, which this funny money effect has been, well, at hold of these markets. How do you view this current correction in the precious metals? Gold still very much range bound, but has pulled back from its highs, at least on the spot market, all-time highs. Silver, that's also pulling back, but silver was outperforming gold there for a little bit in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, again, you know, to me, nothing, it looks like nothing more than a correction of a market that got pretty heated, and I still wouldn't change my big picture opinion that we're only in sort of the fifth inning of this this precious metals bull market. I think, you know, it began in late 2018. I still think it's got some time and a lot of price to run. So again, I think investors want to still be buying pullbacks and stick with that bull market mentality, which is what you couldn't stick with between, you know, 2011 and 2018, give or take. I mean, once you had that initial fall, 2011, 2012, you know, into early 2013, really, you know, there was nothing much to do there. But now it's bull market mentality until something's proven otherwise, and I just don't see any reason to change that thesis.
Yeah, fair enough. So it's crazy to think about, but we're in September, and this is at the end of September going to be the end of the third quarter. Obviously, with these higher metals prices, you would expect precious metals miners to generate some very good numbers. Is there any opportunity here to maybe play some of these earnings reports ahead of when they actually come out from some of the major mining companies?
You know, again, they've all, a lot of the names have generally paused along with the underlying metals, which is to be expected. You know, some of these junior miners, for example, have come a long way in the last 12 to 18 months. But I don't see any reason why you don't want to continue to hold what you own and why you don't want to be taking advantage of some of these pullbacks to get that exposure. I mean, we all know the miners are going to be leveraged to the, you know, how the underlying or leverage performers versus the underlying metal. And I think that there's some of these companies that, you know, are doing smart things. They took advantage of the downturn to, you know, work on sort of their asset profile and work on their exploration and so on. And that long period of stagnation and bear market behavior weeded out a lot of the junk names. So while you still have some froth and some companies out there that don't really know what they're doing or that are just sort of trying to jump on the bandwagon, there's plenty of solid names, solid operators and companies that have a very solid long-term outlook if this metals bull market is, you know, still has 4 or 5 innings left to go.
Yeah, hopefully it still does have that long to go. Final comments here, Mike. When you take a step back, watching either headlines, market moves, really anything around the world that you think is most noteworthy to pay attention to, what is on your radar for, let's say, this month?
Well, sure. I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to have the U.S. presidential election coming up in November, and, you know, the race is really getting kind of heated and ugly. So that may be part of the reason why we're seeing a bit more volatility. People don't know who's going to win, even though Biden had been doing very well. Some of the polling suggests that gap is narrowing with Trump. People may be looking to hedge their bets a little bit there. So that's something I would keep my eye on, and keep my eye on the sort of inflationary expectations. So I would just say keep your eye on the bond market, keep your eye on what's going on in politics, and, you know, keep your eye on the tech sector in particular to see if this turns in from a short-term correction into something more serious.
All right, Mike, going to wrap it up there. I recommend following Mike on Twitter, again, @RealMikeLarson. If you want any more information on Mike's newsletter, The Safe Money Report, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get you in touch with Mike and his team. Mike, thanks for your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend and a great long weekend.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
U.S. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Protests continue in Rochester, New York, in the aftermath of Daniel Prude's death. After a few hours of speeches, hundreds of protesters took to the streets of the city, calling for the officers involved with Prude's death fired, along with the mayor and police chief. Officers declared an unlawful assembly and began launching tear gas into the crowd. Prude died after an encounter with Rochester police back in March, but the incident did not come to light until this week, when video of the encounter surfaced. Seven officers connected to the incident have been suspended with pay. The Department of Homeland Security is set to label white supremacists as the most serious terror threat facing the U.S., more than the immediate danger from foreign terrorists. Politico is reporting that story. They've reviewed three draft reports. This is USA Radio News. President Trump is criticizing the media again. This time it's over questions that were asked of Democratic presidential candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden after an event in Wilmington, Delaware. It also follows a report from The Atlantic that Trump trashed fallen U.S. service members, calling them losers in 2018. The president says he loves the military and has done a lot for them.
Nobody's done more for them. And then when I have to have a report read like that from a third-rate magazine that's not going to be in business much longer, I look at that and I think it's a disgrace.
He also called the questions reporters asked Biden kid questions. The White House has denied the Atlantic story. The white George Washington University professor who admitted Thursday to falsely claiming she was black throughout her adult life will not be teaching this fall. The school made the statement Friday. Jessica Krug said in a Medium post that she is white and Jewish, but claimed she built her life on a violent anti-black lie. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are switching our focus a bit more directly to the precious metals, maybe resources in particular, and the underlying companies, juniors, as I am chatting with John Kaiser, founder and editor of Kaiser Research. Now, John, you and I were talking off mic. We actually haven't chatted in the last couple months, and I was just asking you, you know, what do you see for maybe up until the end of the year? It's hard to have a crystal ball right now, but you were even outlining that the next 3 months looking very unpredictable, not just for metals, but for markets, for the world in general, because we don't know what's going to happen with COVID. We don't know what's going to happen with this market recovery or even the potential correction that the markets may have just started on Thursday. John, give us a little summary of why you think now, in particular, is a very difficult time to be trying to predict market moves and metals moves over the next 3 months.
Well, Corey, in mid-March, we had a pretty sharp drop in markets across the board, including the resource juniors, which were doing quite well in the first quarter. But we've seen markets across the board rebound tremendously. We even have the Dow trying to challenge 30,000, even though the economy continues to be weak. The COVID response has not gotten rid of the COVID problem. We're heading into the flu season in the fall, where people get compressed into closer quarters, and there's a chance that everything will get worse during the final quarter of this year, which is also the election period in the United States, I'm looking at the platforms of both parties, and none of them are really, really putting out a platform of an agenda for what would they do when they're in charge. Now, to me, the obvious thing that needs to be done is to dig ourselves out of this COVID-induced coma is infrastructure renewal. We'll get this thing behind us, and I'm afraid that really won't happen until 2022. It's probably the earliest before we can talk about COVID being vanquished. So with that recovery out of the abyss in March, the resource juniors did okay. But then in June, they really got traction. And it wasn't just the gold stocks tracking gold's challenge of $2,000. It's also across the board in other categories of companies like nickel and things like that. They have also done quite well. And my own index of, 30 or so favorites, it was up 110% from the start of the year after being down 20% in the March DEX. But since early August, the resource juniors have stalled. In June and July, it was tremendous. A lot of money raised. Companies are cashed up. One of the things to worry about is in October, the end of these four-month hold periods happen. So you have these time bombs of stocks that were financed at a cheaper price suddenly getting a liquidity event. But we also have the danger that the overall market could reverse itself. And I saw Al Arian put out an interesting comment that the professionals are afraid to short this market because the Fed has guaranteed that it will keep pumping liquidity into the system. So no short buffer has set up. And if this market reverses course, then the pros will start selling ruthlessly and there will be no pros covering shorts. So we're entering a danger zone where some random trigger could cause the general markets to reverse. And all of that feeds into the bullish case for gold, breaching 2,000, building a new base in the $2,000 to $3,000 range. And that is the underpinning of the awakening of the resource junior bull market. But it's very scary for people like me right now. I can point out lots of stuff. These are great ones. They've got money. They've got stories. They've got exploration programs. They've got news coming up. But we also are entering a zone where suddenly everything goes no bid, and then somebody pounds the deep stink bid, paints the tape with that low price, and then triggers a cascade of capitulation selling. It is a truly scary three-month period that we're entering here.
Yeah, fair enough, John. Something similar to March where everything gets brought down when everyone starts panicking. It doesn't matter what you are in, the share price, the underlying commodity price, the underlying index value is going to fall on its head, just like we saw. Somewhat, though, you can say that some things bounce back quicker, just like the precious metals or hey, even Apple or something like that. Let's talk about some of the juniors, though, in precious metals, even maybe in some base metals, because even as you outlined, base metals have also been doing a bit better. Seems kind of head-scratching to me as copper is over where it was pre-pandemic, but there are a number of reasons for that. When it comes to juniors, a lot of juniors started to rally just a couple months ago, let's say in around June. A lot of the juniors, all of the juniors right now are cashed up. We're going to get a whole slew of drill results and news coming out starting very shortly. What has your attention? Are there any area plays out there? Any in particular drill programs? What, as a barometer, are you following?
Ontario and Quebec, these regions which have high-grade gold potential, they have attracted a lot of capital. And the idea here is not drilling grassroots blind EM conductors or other geophysical anomalies. It's all about rethinking existing systems, daring to drill deeper, daring to drill laterally, taking what is known and extrapolating it in a geological context to see if there is something much bigger and better there to be found. And that's the key thing that happened in June was Bay Street suddenly woke up and was in a rush to fund these companies. Anybody that produced any sort of flashy drill results It was like trolling a big flasher with a little herring attached to it when you're fishing for salmon on the BC coast. Eric Sprott would see the flash and he'd come swimming by and chomp on it. And unlike last year in May when he did this and then looked behind him, you know, he spent $200 million investing in juniors, but nobody followed him into these stocks. This time around, everybody follows him into these stocks that he has put his money into. So I think the appetite, the willingness to respond to good news, this is very different from most of the last 10 years. And even anticipation cycles are working. One of my picks has been SK Mining, which at the beginning of the year had no money. It had that project just south of the original SK Creek deposit. It was languishing at 10 cents. Now it's around 75 cents. They're cashed up. They're drilling on that target. The market is anticipating the benefits of all this rethinking that Quentin Henney and his team, John Dedecker and that, went up there, relogged everything, reinterpreted the geology, undid mistakes previous geologists had done, and came up with a completely new sort of set of targets that have the potential to deliver these eye-catching results. And we just saw this week with Kodiak Copper, which took an old copper gold play in southern British Columbia that had lots of shallow drill holes in it, but never really put together a coherent open pittable deposit. These guys optioned it fairly cheap, but consolidated the different claim groups and started drilling deeper. They didn't get particularly great results for underground development last year, but this week they reported an intersection, which all of a sudden you say, okay, now they've got the grades deeper that would support a block caving exercise, and people are trading the thing up. It's gone from, you know, 50 cents to as high as $1.90. The project has a sort of $70 to $90 million valuation right now. And the audience is there, ready to respond. But they're also ready to respond very brutally if high expectations are destroyed by the truth machine.
John, great chatting with you. Thanks for joining us again on our show. I look forward to chatting with you on a more regular basis. I hope you have a great rest of your long weekend.
It's been a pleasure, Corey, and you have a great weekend too.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. As promised on the first segment, we are ending this hour with a company update from Novo Resources. Novo is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. Chatting with the president and chairman, Quentin Henny. Now, Quentin, just following up on recent news at the tail end of August that discussed the closing of a brokered and non-brokered financing totaling about $56 million Canadian. This all came on the back of the agreement to acquire Millennium Minerals and that so-called Millennium Mill that you and I discussed last interview about a month ago, actually. Give us a little update on this financing, how it came together. You actually raised a fair bit more money than the first announcement, and just how important it is to have this money in the door now, please.
Certainly, yeah. Let's kind of paint the picture here. You know, we're in an exceptional spot now. We're, you know, this is really the juncture where Novo goes from being an exploration company to a producer. And this equity placement that we closed recently, you know, last week was, you know, key to that. That provides us a lot of the capital we need. Originally targeted, you know, I think the initial announcement that we upsized to 4-2, but we had, you know, very solid interest. Many of our long-term shareholders jumped back in here, so we're very pleased to see that money come in. It also means that, you know, the need to draw down the second tranche of the debt facility that we have with that we're structuring with Sprott Lending is not so critical at this point. So, you know, in our view, it's a more solid foundation to build on, you know, not having that debt component, and not taking the risks around that, especially. This, you know, becomes a very, very manageable situation. You know, if you look at our scenario now, we will, you know, close this very shortly. Everything's coming together very quickly at this point. And we will have considerable money in the bank, even after making the payment as part of the acquisition. We will have on the order of 55, maybe 60 million Canadian dollars in the bank. We need we're doing exploration, of course, so we're, you know, going to continue funding that part too as well. But we have more than enough capital now, or I should say, we have the capital we need to bolt everything together, get Beaton's Creek into production, but also give us the buffer. I guess that's what I mean by more than enough. We you know, it's good to have a bit of buffer right now. Like, you know, COVID, for example. Right now it's in control in Australia, has been for some time, you know, but there's always risks around that. So I feel much better. I sleep better at night knowing that we have enough money that we can get everything into production as needed. There won't be any unexpected nasty surprises here.
All right, let's talk about the whole production scenario here at Beaton's Creek. Any timeline that you can give us investors as to when that could be in production?
Yes, sir. Sure. Look, we're targeting in the first quarter of next year to be pouring gold. I think that's easily accomplishable. You know, we are working right now on building our team. In fact, we'll probably have announcements very soon after we announce completion of the transaction. We'll be able to talk about the team we're putting together, and I think it'll make a very good impression amongst you know, our shareholders, but also importantly in Australia. You know, the people that we're bringing in are very high profile, you know, developers and operators that are well respected in the mining industry in Australia, and I think people will understand that, you know, NOAA is going to be a very, very serious gold company going forward. This team, really, just like the acquisition, okay, this is a foundation upon which NOAA will grow. Okay, so we do have big aspirations to increase our production over time. We're not going to just, you know, sit still at one asset or one story. We're going to basically unlock the rest of the Pilbara, and this team that we're developing is absolutely first rate, first class. I've been doing interviews and meeting these various people in the evenings, my time. Of course, I'm in Denver here, so I've got to do this from afar, which is an interesting exercise. But I've been absolutely delighted with the people that we're bringing in. I'll be absolutely ecstatic to talk more about these folks once we can announce to the market the members of this team.
All right, Quentin, thank you for that comprehensive update when it comes to production. But let's also remind everybody that you guys still have a lot of other land, a lot of other exploration on tap, and money to undertake this exploration. What else is happening in the greater Pilbara area for NOAA?
Certainly. Look, as we've talked about earlier this year, we are starting our trial mining phase over at Karratha. This is actually a very important aspect. I'm glad you're asking these questions because this is exactly where our mind is at. How do we grow from here? Okay, so one of the absolute critical things is we take the most advanced assets we have. These are ones we have a great deal of data around, like Karratha, where we've drilled 150 drill holes. We have a very good three-dimensional model of the gold-bearing conglomerate, and we have a very good handle on how we would mine that and now process it. Okay, so we've bought our Steiner ore sorting machine. This is a device that can identify gold particles in rock and separate those from waste material. We do anticipate using such a mechanical sorter to produce a very high-grade concentrate at Karratha, which is a really an interesting story because now you're basically operating this like a gravel operation. You're mining material, you're crushing it, screening it, putting through a sorter, and producing a high-grade concentrate, but you do not have to process the material over at Karratha. You can then put that concentrate into trucks and ship it to the mill at Nulligan, at Beaton's Creek. So, you know, that would be an instant win for us, increased production through, you know, concentrates out of Karratha. We're also obviously looking at how we fast-track Egina. I think the cash flow from the Beaton's Creek operation will help us fast-track Egina into production. It's also, there's a lot of aspects around getting more cozy with the mines department around permitting mining operations and so forth, and I think that the efforts we're making right now go a long way to show the mines department that we're now becoming a mining company. So things like Egina will actually become easier for us to permit as the mines department becomes more familiar with us, our team, our operating protocol, and so forth. So I think everything's a win. Now, one thing that's a big upside for us is the East Pilbara in particular, that, you know, in the vicinity of this mill, say in trucking distance, we have a number of opportunities to take assets that we, you know, are currently, we'll call it stranded assets, for instance, Talga Talga or Virgin Creek or, you know, these other gold projects that really haven't gained much notoriety. We can actually fast track those now into through exploration into production, and put the, you know, plan on putting that material through the mill. So these are you know definite key aspects of our growth story, and then even at Beaton's Creek, one of the really exciting things. And look, we'll be able to talk about this very soon. We're going to get out there and hit the exploration very hard because we know where there's natural extensions of these conglomerates. And we think there's huge potential to increase the size of the Beaton's Creek resource, really just, you know, basically grow the deposit by leaps and bounds. And that will in itself add quite a few years, you know, potential years to the mine life here because, you know, Beaton's Creek is right next door. So what am I saying? Let's boil it down to the bare basics here. We got Beaton's Creek providing a base load to this mill for the foreseeable future. We've got the immediate add-ons in the East Pilbara, for example, Talga Talga. We can truck material in, probably, you know, it would be fairly high-grade material, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 gram type material, and put that into the mill stream. We can pull in concentrates out of Karratha. We can use cash flow to fast-track things like Egina. These are all huge wins. I would say Nova is, this is a foundation. Nova's going to grow from here. And in a very short while, maybe 2 or 3 years, we will be a mid-tier gold producer that's, you know, Pilbara focused, but producing gold at very high margins. These are all very, you know, potentially very high margin gold deposits. The gold is free milling. It's coarse grain. You know, it's very easy to extract, very high recovery, so forth. I think that that alone is, you know, underpins our whole working hypothesis here that we can build a very high margin gold producer.
All right. Well, Quentin, I can tell that you're excited, and rightfully so. This move into production by the beginning of next year could be huge for the company and all these other opportunities, both within your own land packages and other distressed assets. Like you said, full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Novo Resources. We'll keep following along as more news hits the market. But if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Hey, Quentin, I appreciate you taking some time on this weekend show. I thank everybody else for tuning in. And I also thank everybody for visiting our website and our podcast on a daily basis. I keep the content coming because, well, it's an interesting year and there's a lot to make sense of when it comes to market moves. Everybody have a great long weekend. Same to you, Quentin. I will be back at it on Tuesday.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.